Blog Talk Radio.
You abandoned me. Love don't live here anymore. Just a vacancy. Love don't live here anymore. When you lived inside of me, there was nothing I could conceive.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Delicious Talk tonight. Sorry about that. Let me start this again. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Delicious Talk, the segment bringing sexy back. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. Miss Kay, my special co-host, and Danny are off tonight, so it's just going to be me and Rhea doing the show tonight. And the topic of tonight's show is surviving a breakup, and we're going to do two topics tonight. The second topic is going to be how to protect your children from predators, because it's just so much of that going on. It's crazy. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But before I get into the show, I want to let everybody know I got some oil today, so it's nice and warm in here, and you know, I'm very grateful for that. It's been really cold here lately, but we had a few good days a couple of weeks ago or last week, something like that. But the winter is kind of crazy, but It's still the winter, so, you know, stay bundled up and, you know, keep your hats on and your gloves when you're out in the elements, because there's a lot of different viruses floating around out there. And, you know, I'd like for everybody to be well and listen to my show. With that being said, I'm going to bring my co-host in, and we're going to get this show on the road. Good evening, Rhea.
Good evening. How are you today?
I am fantastic, darling. I am
That's
so
great.
Good till it almost scares me.
Well, then.
Yeah, especially the state I was in a couple of days ago or yesterday. I was really, you know, crazy, but whatever. I'm really so much better today, you know, because I can't wallow in things that I have no control over, and I don't like to wallow in things that I do have control over. I'd like to deal with them, get them over with, and, you know, move forward. So that's, you know, exactly what I'm doing. You know, just getting back to my good old self again.
Yeah, I agree with that. Mm-hmm. Somebody asked a question in one of my Facebook groups earlier.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things that you can easily get over nowadays? No, can't. That you can't easily get over.
Right.
And my response was, actually, at this time in my life, there's not too many things that I can't get over. Because I definitely invoked accepting the things you cannot change
right.
things you can, and I have the wisdom to know the difference.
Right.
Some battles you just can't fight. So it's like I definitely agree with that, and I understand that completely. And it took me so long to get there that now I tend to wallow in it, and some people say I give up quickly. I let people be, but it's like, whether it's friend or foe, I can't fight
right.
what you can change.
Right, because life is too short, you know, to be holding grudges and, you know, having ill feelings and, you know, all those things. And people don't realize when you hold grudges and have ill feelings towards people, it manifests itself in illnesses in yourself. And see, I'm not going to make myself sick. I'm really not going to do that, and I'm not going to let anybody else make me sick. So get over it, you know, get on, move on next, because I've learned, you know, years and years ago that, you know, just like you had mentioned, the things you change, the things you can and the things you can't, you know, you just have to somehow or another just make that road a little smoother for yourself. You know, don't be dependent on people to bring you happiness and joy, because they can't. They may can enhance it, some people, but I don't depend on anybody to bring me joy or happiness, you know, because they can't. I make myself happy, and, you know, a time or two, my friend, he makes me happy, but, well, he enhanced my happiness, let's put it like that. But yes, he do. But, you know, just to, you know, I can't handle it. But we're going to get right into this topic, how to survive a breakup. Now, I was speaking with a friend of mine yesterday about this topic, and I was telling her that, you know, it depends on how the breakup was, you know, if it was amicable or if it was mutual, or if you broke up, you know, angry, or, you know, just how you left that relationship, what type of bearing it would have on your survival after that relationship. Because I think if you're in a relationship and you break up, you say, okay, well, you come to an agreement, I'm going to go my way, you go your way, that may be kind of good. But if you're in a toxic relationship and, you know, you break up, you're mad at this person, you see them with somebody else, you busting their windows out and flattening their tires and spitting on them and, you know, just carrying on really crazy instead of just letting it go. And I can understand, well, I'm not going to say I can understand, but, you know, some women don't know how to let go. You know, they just have to, you know, have something to do with that man. That's why a lot of these women are trapping these men, having these babies, and, you know, just doing a whole lot of crazy foolishness of trying to, you know, keep a man. And as soon as they're out of that relationship, they don't know what to do. Or they become confused or angry and bitter, you know. So we're going to try to, you know, let women know that when you get out of a relationship, be it a bitter, toxic, or whatever one, first you got to look back and say to yourself, you know, how good, you know, get a piece of paper and write it down, 10 things that was good about that relationship and 10 things that were bad about that relationship. And see, no, just write down things that was good about it and things that was bad about it. See what outweighs, if the good outweighs the bad, then, you know, maybe that can help you move on. But if the bad outweighs the good, then maybe you just need to know the next time you go into a relationship, the bad things you won't take into that next relationship. And then, you know, you also have to start loving yourself. Treat yourself. Be good to yourself. You know, take yourself out to the movies, out to dinner, go to a happy hour, you know, go dancing. You know, just do things to keep yourself sane. You know, and make yourself happy. Start loving yourself, because sometimes we get in these relationships, we forget all about ourselves. You know, we're so busy loving him and pleasing him and doing for him until, you know, we're way on the back burner. Then when we get out of the relationship, you say stuff, man, I could have went on a trip last year, but he wanted me to do this. I could have did that, but he wanted me to do this. You know, so now that you're out of that relationship, take that trip. Go get your hair done. Get your nails done. Do all the things that you didn't do when you were involved with him, you know, now that you have that free time, and, you know, do those things.
Well, I know one of the things that I think that I can really speak from it from a woman's point of view. I really can't speak from a man's point of view.
Right.
Because I haven't discussed anything such as that in detail with, you know, a male to be able to have a complete opinion. But from a female's point of view, some of the things that we do that hinder us, in my opinion, is, first of all, we definitely have to learn how to be honest with ourselves.
Right.
And we have to be able to recognize our contributions and our faults as well, because that's how we grow as an individual anyway.
Right.
And just like the example you just gave, I know many a women who would have turned around and blamed him for them not going on that trip.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, that decision to not go on that trip was their decision.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they made it because of him, they still made that decision. It's something that I often put out there when I say it, ownership. You have to take complete ownership of your actions and deeds and not blame the next person. Like I said, that to me is one of the main tools of self-growth.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't grow, we all have things that we need to change and we can do better at this than the other. And you should be in a constant state of growth, in my opinion. The other thing that I think that people is an extreme misnomer that a lot of people follow is actually the famous statement that I hear. So the best way to get over one is get under another.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people follow that, and I think that's one of the worst things we can do, because
yeah,
we have not given ourselves that chance to heal and to
right.
breathe, and there is a healing process. There is even a grieving process, depending
right.
upon how deep that relationship was. And it took me, like, okay, for me, my children's father went to jail, because I don't refer to him as my husband anymore, but
mm-hmm.
he went to jail. And he went to jail like a year after I walked away from him.
Right.
And he went to jail. He was in jail for 7 years. And when he got out, I felt myself falling back into my same old habits.
Mm-hmm. So y'all got back together when he got out of jail?
No.
Oh, okay.
We didn't get back together, but I did talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I did spend a little time around them. But I found myself falling back into those same habits of helping and supporting and this, that, and the other. All the things that he never did for me.
Right.
And I felt those old familiar feelings of love. And everything in me, let's put it like this. Parts of me riled up against those feelings and things that I was feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is, I was feeling them. But I drew a line, and I never crossed that line. Part of the reason I walked away from him wasn't because of me and the things he was doing to me because he was extremely abusive.
Mm-hmm.
But it was because his actions was affecting my children. And when it started affecting the children, it was almost like in my head I rationaled. I choose to stay with him. But if he hurt them, I can't make that choice for them. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like, and so I often said, I didn't leave for me. I left for the children.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kept the line drawn. He could not step foot in my home unless my children invited him
mm-hmm.
into their home. They would never invite him into their home. So he never came into my home, right? And so the few times I met him and he tried to get me to go places with him, he was like, no, we could only meet in public places, whatever, you know. And then I had to tell myself, why are you doing this to yourself? Well, true to nature, he did two things. He did the first thing, and falling into my old traps, I overlooked it. Then he did the second thing. And when he did the second thing, it was a total neglect of my feelings, and mm-hmm. it was such a slap in the face, I think it knocked the hell out of me
mm-hmm.
and woke me up, and I have never laid eyes on him since. And this has been since June of 2003, matter of fact, June 20th, 2003.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I do talk to him every now and then whenever he calls me, and I feel like taking his calls because he usually calls me when he's drinking, so when he called me late at night, I don't answer his calls.
Mm-hmm.
But I said all that to say it took me, after almost falling back into my old ways completely, falling back into my old ways, let's say it like that, it took me a while to figure out why. And one of the things I figured out was that, first of all, I never grieved the death of my marriage, nor the death
right.
of that relationship. This had been an 18-year relationship. No, this had been a 22-year relationship and an 18-year marriage.
Right.
So I never grieved it. So when I walked away, it's almost like you put it on a shelf and you just forgot about it. That don't mean it goes away, you know. And so I got bombarded with all those feelings. And I can honestly tell you from the month of July through the month of August, from July through October of 2003, I went through these emotional changes. I actually thought I was cracking up because I didn't understand why I was going through these. When I sat back and I looked at that, and it took me a few years to realize it, it matches the seven stages of grief.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, wow. And it was a surprising to me. So it made me realize, you know, that there is something to taking that time to heal.
Right.
You know, it is. It's definitely something to taking that. My marriage was so caustic and had been such a large part of my life. It was
mm-hmm.
over half the life I had lived.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so toxic that I could not get into another relationship until I healed from that one, because that man wouldn't be safe.
Right.
And I can honestly say that the first time he exhibited any other signs of that former relationship, I probably would have hurt him. And then I'd be sitting in jail for what? Because he raised his hand up in the air to gesture, and I thought he was raising his hand up to hit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no. So I sit back and I think about that. You do need that time. You need that time to heal. You need that time to look back at yourself to see where you were at, and to be good to yourself.
Right.
Because I know as a woman, we tend to give up a lot of ourselves to our relationships because we tend to cater to our men.
That is,
you know,
true.
I'm not saying that men don't do it. Don't get me, I'm not saying that. But in general, we tend to lose ourselves because we cater to our men. However, there's a new breed of woman nowadays, because women nowadays are acting as men used to act. Do you understand? And I don't have no other way to say that. It's like, it's almost tit for tat. I need to hurt you before you hurt me. You know, that's why the cheating numbers are up. And that's why, you know, the girls, I just want to get mad, or I just want to get it in, and, you know, I don't want to be in a relationship and don't want to be. It's almost that same thing. And to me, it's almost they mirroring each other. And that's on the uprise as opposed to anything else. And I just think that those are some of the reasons that those things exist is because of the hurt that people have experienced that they actually have never gotten over.
Right, because there is a healing process when people get out of one relationship and they immediately get into another relationship. That's because they are in pain, they're not used to being by themselves, and they just, you know, thinking getting with somebody else on the rebound, so to speak, is going to help solve the way they feel emotionally. And, you know, it's really not good to get involved with somebody when you're on the rebound because, number one, your emotions are a little erratic. You're not thinking straight. All you're seeing is being with somebody because you're used to your man sleeping next to you, or you're used to this going on in your life when you're in a relationship. But the best thing to do is to go through that healing and grieving process, because when you don't, you're just taking baggage to the next relationship. And when you do that, the relationship is bound for failure. So women need to step back and, you know, analyze things. And, you know, sure, you're going to be hurt, you're going to be lonely, you're going to be miserable, you're going to go through a whole lot of emotional changes. But guess what? When you get done with that and you get in another relationship, you will have learned something. And not to say that, you know, some women, they put their guards up because they say, I'm not going to never let a man do that to me again, you know, because I was really hurt. And you can't blame a woman, you know, when she goes through those emotional changes like that. I've been through them, you know, but at times I have let my guards down because I felt that I could trust this person, and this was the person that, you know, I wanted to be with, you know. But as far as like getting right back into a relationship after I got out of one, no, I couldn't, because I, for one thing, I was too, the relationship that I got out was toxic, and, you know, in the end it was toxic. 13 years The whole 13 years wasn't toxic, but, you know, it was toxic relationship. When I got out of that relationship, I had a chance to look back. And I still some days look back and ask myself, why was I in that relationship like that? What was wrong with me, you know?
Girl.
I knew what the problem was with me. I knew what the problem was. But now that I'm away from it, you know, got out of it, you know, and like I said, I didn't get into another relationship for a while, you know, because I just felt that I didn't really want to go through what I had went through. I was not trusting anybody and not, you know, just, and then I wanted to take time to find out myself, to do things for myself, you know, as far as like moves in a relationship, because there was a lot of things that I didn't do simply because catering to him. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, getting out of that relationship, I started, you know, doing things for myself, you know, going places by myself. I've always done that, though, when I got grown. But, you know, just, and then, you know, not getting involved seriously with anybody. If anybody wanted to take me out to dinner, I let them take me out to dinner, and that was it. You walk through the door, that's as far as you got, you know, because I really wasn't ready to get involved in another relationship at that particular time. And, you know, knowing what I was going through, it was a grieving process and a healing process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and women need to do that instead of just getting out of one relationship and then they say to themselves, oh, well, this is my chance because so many guys was hauling that down. Well, I'm going to call someone, so maybe we can hook up. No, don't call nobody. Just, you know, you have to take the bitter with the sweet. That's just part of life.
Back to what you said near the beginning, some women don't know how to let go.
That's true.
And men don't either. Don't get me wrong. Men, it's the same for me, but they don't. It's almost like, I just finished reading a book. It was a very, very good book called Perfect Circle by Alvin L.A. Horn.
Mm-hmm.
And in this book, there was a male that would throw up, but he wouldn't even throw up my wife because she was his ex-wife. He would say, my ex-wife, almost like he had an ownership.
Mm-hmm.
like she was his. And I'm not going to go any further because I don't want to give any of the book away. But
right.
he did certain things that it's like, first of all, what about the word X don't you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Number one. Then it's like we hold on to them. Now, you can be in another relationship and you done moved on. And but no, no, you haven't moved on. You're in another relationship, but you're still holding on to this old one. And they do the same thing with, I hate that term, baby mama and baby daddy. I despise it. But they do the same thing with the mother or father of their children.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you can't have my kids around somebody else. And it's,
yeah, that's crazy.
You don't control that person. You don't. And I just sit back and I look at it. There's a situation that I know of right now where two people have went their separate ways. And for the longest of time, the male, quote unquote, was chasing after the female after he had a baby on during their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was rightfully hurt. Don't get me wrong. Her hurt and everything was understood. But she never would give him, she was like stringing him along. And I want this and I want that. And he was spending his money and buying her this and these real expensive purses and shoes and all this kind of stuff. And so then finally he got tired and he stopped chasing her. And now that he doesn't stop chasing her, it's all of a sudden like she hounded his every, she drives past his house and then gets mad when she sees the car of the other mother. The mother of his second daughter,
mm-hmm.
out in front of his house. What difference does it make to you?
Wow.
You said that you all are not getting back together. You all don't have no relationship. You all are just being parents to your daughter. So what difference does it make? You know what I'm saying? And all kind of, it's like people just don't know how to let go and move on. And like I said, I've had people who tell me that I'm too quick to move on now, but I truly believe in letting people live their lives in accordance with how they choose to.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't choose for me to be part of your life, then so be it. But you can't put me in a corner and think that's where I'm going to stay, you to go and pull out when you're convenient to do so. No.
Right.
No.
Right. Right. And then as far as these women not wanting to let go, you know, you have to realize that that's not doing anything but inflicting that much more heartache and pain on you, because the man, he's going to go on and do what he's going to do anyway.
Exactly.
And that's why a lot of these women get in these relationships, accepting these men who cheat on them. They know that they're cheating, but just to say, I got him, he's not going to leave me, you're going to let that happen to you. And we as women, we have to put our feet down and say, we're not going to accept this, you know, because a man only does to you what you let him do. He only do to you what you let him do. If he feels that he can cheat on you and you accept it, that's what he's going to do. But if you
exactly.
tell that man, you know, if you're going to cheat on me, you out of here. If he cheats on you, he must going to do it so good until you're not going to find anything out about it. But, you know, women need to let go, because I wrote a book, What's Past and I Forgotten, the character in there, these two characters, the relationship is so toxic till it's a shame. And she didn't want to let this guy go. He has abused her. I mean, he just put her in the hospital. He did everything to her. And eventually he was murdered. But the point of it is, she just didn't want to let him go, and she knew things about him. She knew, well, the first time he beat her so bad till she had forgot. She couldn't remember that he was the one who had beat her, but there were times when he did beat her, and she knew what was going on. She still stayed with him. She lied to her mother about him beating her, and she had bruises all over her, and she still lied and denied that he had, you know, abused her. But she still wanted to be with him. She even caught him at another woman's house, and she messed his car up. She just was just crazy things instead of just letting him go, because he told her that he was not in love with her. He never loved her. It was just about sex. That's what he told her in the beginning. But she felt that, you know, by him, they moved together and all that kind of stuff, things were going to change. And women, you can't change nobody.
No.
So don't think when you get a man, he's this, he's that, and you're going to change into your satisfaction. That is not going to work. People don't change for people. They change because they want to change. At least I don't. I'm not going to let anybody change me. We may can compromise a few things, but as far as you think you're going to come and change me up to fit what you want me to be, that's not going to work. You know, so,
yeah.
You know, you just have to let go. And even in a situation like you were just speaking of, the two women, you know, one having the baby and she's going riding around there, you know, what is that all about, stalking?
Exactly.
You know, why are you...
It's dangerous.
Yes, it is.
It's like, why? You made the choice, you made the choice to end the relationship. You made it very clear that you're not going to be in a relationship with him. You all don't do anything together. You don't accept any of his invitations to do anything. But you accept all these gifts from him,
mm-hmm.
and things such as that. And yet, and still, you have the nerve to make a comment about or to feel some kind of way when you see her car parked out in front of his house. The reality of it is it shouldn't matter. You
right.
know she exists because the baby
right.
exists.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And
it
really shouldn't matter. Move on. But then at the same point, it's almost like, just like that song, Clean Up Woman, it's almost like you want to put him on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and leave him there until it's convenient for you. And I don't get it, but I want to address something that you said a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
You said that you look back on that 13-year toxic relationship,
mm-hmm.
and you don't even recognize yourself. Let me explain something to you. When I look back on my former relationship turned marriage,
mm-hmm.
turned lesson, you know,
mm-hmm.
I've had my lesson, now I'm waiting on my blessing, but that was my lesson.
Mm-hmm.
When I look back on that, I swear to you, I don't recognize that person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even understand how I could be that person.
Yep.
I sit back and I'm like, and I mean, sometimes when I think it's, I cringe because it's like, oh my God, there's nothing in my soul, no matter how deep I go, that could even allow me to be 50% of who she was. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and
I understand.
I don't recognize her, and that's scary to me. It really is. It's like, wow, because I know I was one of them who changed herself, catering to him, so to speak, because
mm-hmm.
I have stopped doing things because I've got tired of doing them by myself, and I got tired of this, and I got tired of that, and it was like work, school, home, you know, and I just sit back and I look at that, you know, now I'm the person, I go all over Chicago doing
mm-hmm.
anything I want to do. And as far as being by myself, hell, I am by myself. So what difference? I mean, that's the reality. I don't even look twice at that. It seemed like it bothered other people more than it bothers me because I never even think about that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, because after you stand back and observe it, then you begin to question yourself, your ethics and your morals. What made me do that, you know? But I know why I did it, but trust and believe, it'll never come another day like that, you know, that I let myself get so involved and so misguided and so abused and so used like that again. I would rather be by myself, you know. But, like, I have not been back into another relationship like that, you know, because the relationship wasn't all bad. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, it was just the point of me, when it did go bad, I didn't get out, you know, when I should have. And the strange thing about that relationship, when we did break up, we had the audacity to try to get back together again. And I said, wait a minute, hold up. This ain't going to work, you know. And so we just eventually just parted our ways. And to this day, we are good friends.
That's good.
Yeah, we're good friends now. But, you know, the relationship was, you know, turned toxic. And, you know, it was a mess. It was really a mess. So, you know, and it's kind of good if you can be friends with your ex. Not to say you have to or you need to, but you never know that may be the only person that you can call on. Because I sure was in a situation when he was the only person I could call on when I was in a car accident in 2005. My car was wrecked, and, you know, getting back and forth to therapy was a trip. Because when you really need somebody, that's when you find out who your friends are. So I had called him, and he took me to a couple of my sessions of therapy, you know, and he had called me when his car wasn't, you know, able, and, you know, I'd taken him to his doctor's appointments and things like that, you know, and he still considers himself as my children's father, you know, and they still consider him as, you know, as their dad, but they know he's not, you know, really their father. But, you know, he always asks about him if he sees me out and about, or he called Christmas and, you know, wishing all of us a Merry Christmas and, you know, things like that. So that, you know, those types of things happen. Then sometimes you break up and you're very bitter and hating this person and wanting to kill them and, you know, all that kind of stuff. When just let it go. Let it go. And, you know, you're going to go through some emotional trauma, but that's just the way it is. You know, now if you break up our relationship, everything's mutual, you know, you say, well, I'm getting ready to move out of town, so I think it's best we break up. That's good, break up, and then that's the time you just go on and pamper yourself, take care of yourself, love yourself, because a lot of these women, they're not loving themselves neither. You know, they be in these relationships, and they're not even loving themselves because they're so involved and so entrusted in this man until everything's about him.
Mm-hmm.
Then you turn around and look and say, dang, I didn't know I had got all this gray in my head. I didn't know I had put on all this weight. I didn't know the this and that and blah, 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 blah. So, you know, just take care of yourself, love yourself, do for yourself. And when another man comes along, just, you know, take it one day at a time. Don't be gung-ho. And when you break up, don't try to get right back into a relationship. Being with somebody on the rebound, it does not work. I'm telling you, it does not work. You breaking up with somebody this week and next week you with somebody else. I saw on the internet this young lady had met this guy, and the next day she tattooed his name on her face.
I saw that stupid.
Did you see that?
That is beyond stupid.
Now, what in the world kind of dumb, I mean, that, there's no words for that as far as I'm concerned, because number one, she just met, and he looks a little demonic to me. I don't know, like he one of them people that's a cannibal or something, but, you know, that's crazy. Now, they soon as they break up, what is she going to tell the next man? You see what I'm saying? What's she going to tell the next man? His name all on her face. On her face of death. I can see if she got it on her neck or, you know, maybe her breast or something, but on your face. Come on.
But not just that. How are you going to get a job?
Yeah.
I mean, really?
Yeah. See, she wasn't thinking about anything. She just, maybe they was high together. Maybe they got high, and she said, well, I love you, so I want you to, and he tattooed it on her face. You know, he's a tattoo artist.
Oh,
so
no,
he tattooed it on her face. Oh, no, mm-mm, that would have, how you going to fall in love with somebody the first day you meet them? Now, they say love is blind. I mean, no, it's love at first sight. Now, that depends on if it's worth your love at first sight. Because I'm telling you, I couldn't, that's just crazy. And I wonder what's going to happen when she has her breakup. Is she going to go and try to get that tattoo lasered off her face? Or is she just going to run around being mad at the world and, you know, start killing people because... You know how they get crazy and want to kill up everybody.
Well, if anybody see her, it's very easy to give a description of her.
That's the truth.
Wow. I know actually most of the people, women that I know that have had breakups and things such as that.
Mm-hmm.
They get right back into relationships because they feel that's the best way that you get over a previous. And I just don't agree.
No, I'm going to tell you, that doesn't work. I'm going to tell you why. Because the first time that other person does something that reminds you of that other person, you're going to throw it up in their face. You just like my ex. Whatever.
And nobody, you wouldn't want to be compared to somebody and don't nobody else want to be compared with nobody neither.
Right. That's the truth. But I think they need to go through that healing and grieving part because there got to be some healing done, especially if it was a toxic relationship or a relationship that maybe your partner died or whatever. But, you know, something, you know, you just can't depend on someone else taking all that pain, that grief, and that suffering from you when you get in that other relationship. That's baggage. And you take baggage from one relationship to another relationship, it's not going to work.
Yep.
You know, so women who are just getting out of a relationship, like I said, love yourself. Take yourself out to dinner. Go get your nails done, get your hair done, buy a new outfit, take a mini vacation. You know, just do things for yourself. And if you got a family, this is a good time for you to hang out with your family because sometimes when you're in a relationship, you know, you and your family, they do their thing and you do your thing, you and your boyfriend. So now you can really hang out with the family and, you know, just start getting yourself back together and please, please don't get in a relationship. I mean, it's okay to go out, you know, for dinner with the guy or to the movies or something like that, but don't depend on this guy to take away your pain and your hurt from your previous relationship. It's not going to work.
That's a lot of pressure on another person, too.
Yeah, it is. And I've seen program, I forgot what it was, but this guy was saying that, you know, he was tired of his wife always blaming him, I mean, saying things to him about her ex, you know, and he said, I realized that, you know, she was in a bad relationship, but I don't have anything to do with that, you know, what he wanted her to understand, but what she wasn't understanding was that she should have never even gotten into that relationship with him. You know, because if you're going to constantly throw your ex up in a new person's face, then, you know, I don't want to hear about somebody, well, my ex, she this, she that, blah, 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 blah. I mean, it's okay, you know, if you want to say a few things about her, you know, like, especially if you have kids by her. You know, well, I got to go to my ex and pick up my kids, or I got to do this for my ex. Okay, that's all good. But don't be telling me your ex used to cook like this, and she did this for you that way, and I should be like your ex. No, I should be just like me. You know, but you got those people who do that comparison, and it breaks up a relationship. It really does. So, like I said, ladies, love yourself, treat yourself, be good to yourself. Get over that guy because there's more fish in the sea. And like they used to say, if you miss one bus, another bus will be coming along shortly. Yeah, they used to say that. I heard that a lot. If you miss one bus, another one will be coming along shortly. So during that time, just take care of yourself. Do you. You know.
That's a fact.
Yes, do you. And, you know, that's a little bit of something that, you know, I think I needed to put out there because, like, it's like you said, some women don't even know how to break up, you know what I mean, to let go. And that's another thing. Let it go. If it comes back to you, it's meant for you. If it don't, then it's not for you.
But then again, what type of quality of a relationship could you have with somebody, quote-unquote, you had to fight with to stay with you or this, that, and the other? If he don't want to be there, let him go.
Yeah, yeah. I've known from back in the day people who was in relationships and would actually try to buy their man to keep them in a relationship, you know. So, yeah, women will do that, but I can't see me doing that because if you don't want to be with me, you know, going about your business, I might be hurt and upset and all this and that, but guess what? I ain't going to try to hold on to you. I ain't going to try to make you stay.
I know that's right.
I will never try to make somebody be with me. For what? They're going to be miserable and unhappy. And you be with me, you got to be happy. You know, because I'm not I'm a happy person, and I just love to be happy and, you know, enhance other people's happiness as well as they enhance mine. So I guess we could close this topic and go to our next topic,
mm-hmm.
How to protect your children from predators. Now, I have been on the internet seeing so much garbage about these people molesting these children, kidnapping them, killing them, beating them, till it makes me sick on my stomach. It really makes me sick. And anytime someone does something to a child, the perpetrator never gets the amount of time that they should get. They give them either probation or 5 years or something like that. I mean, you know, if you kill a child, I mean, what's the difference? When you kill an adult, they're going to give you all this time. And you kill a child, you get, especially the things they do to children, they beating them to death. And I was on the internet yesterday, saw this man, I think it was in Korea, one of them countries over there, Tokyo, ate three of his children while his Ooh. Wife was away on business. Yes, he did.
Oh?
Yes, he did.
Did you just say ate?
He ate them. Yes. Then I read another story on the internet. This man had beat a 5-year-old girl to death because it was a question of her virginity. What question is there of somebody's virginity 5 years old?
Exactly.
And they said that he had went to jail, but he didn't spend a lot of time in jail. Now he's trying to pay the judges off or something to get out of doing any more time. No Negro, he wasn't a black man, but he would have still been in jail. He would have still been in jail. And I'm telling you, these countries where they allow these things to go on, just like the raping of that Indian girl.
Oh, yeah.
And the one who killed herself when they wanted her to marry one of the rapists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what kind of mess is that?
But you know, there's a such thing as legitimate rape.
Whatever. I'd like to know about legitimate rape, please, because, yeah, I know. It's crazy. And see, men make all these crazy laws. Now, I would like to, well, I'm not going to say that, but if he was to get raped, would that be legitimate?
Exactly.
Because men get raped, too. But I bet you if he did get raped, that law would change so quick till it wouldn't be funny. So you have to realize, and then I forgot his name. Is it Ryan? I think it was Ryan was saying something about women who get raped if they have an abortion. What did he say? If they have an abortion, they couldn't have an abortion in the state they was in. They couldn't have an abortion or something just stupid. Mm-hmm. But my thing is, if a woman is raped and she becomes pregnant, it's, you know, that's I don't think that she should have an abortion. If she doesn't want to have the child, it's best to have the child and give it up for adoption, because abortion is murder. But see, it's just so man has made it legal, so people believe that it's okay to have an abortion, but that's murder.
I would never do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I am pro-choice, because I don't feel as though anybody has the right to tell somebody else they have to carry. They have what they can do with their body.
Mm-hmm.
I would never do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in it, but I don't believe that any woman should be forced to. Though my beliefs are my personal beliefs.
Right, right.
And I just don't feel as though you have the right to enforce those same beliefs on somebody else.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't, I'm going to say this. I had 3 abortions. That's because I didn't know any better at that particular time, you know, because they said it was legal. So, you know, you jump on anything that's legal. But
mm-hmm.
when I found out the difference, I can't get pregnant now, but if I was to get pregnant the day or tomorrow and felt that I didn't want the child, I wouldn't abort it.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I feel about that.
I would not do it. But I just don't feel as though you have the right to force a woman to carry a child. Sometimes carrying a child and then giving it up is a lot harder than people think it is. I don't, you know, can you imagine being raped and then watching your body grow with the product of this rape in it?
Mm-hmm.
The psychological torture this woman has to go through.
Right.
Sometimes when we have children, it forever changes our body.
Mm-hmm.
It changes us from who that person we knew ourselves to be.
Right.
We never, ever see that woman again. And this happened, you know, imagine how somebody who raped, that this happened to feel. She's carrying the result of that rape around probably for the rest of her life.
Mm-hmm.
And we know she's carrying. It's like, so I, like I said, I wouldn't do it. However, I just don't think it's, feel as though anybody has the right to say you got to do this and you have to do that. No,
mm-hmm.
that's her body,
mm-hmm.
and it needs to be able to be her choice.
Right, right. Well, now as far as these children who are being kidnapped and killed by their mother's boyfriends and
you know, I'm so sick of that shit. I don't know what to do. That
yeah.
that part right there irritates me.
Yes.
To the core of my soul.
And
because
then
I just,
the sad part about it is the mother knows that this abuse is going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because how can you not see the bruises, the bumps, and the knots all over your child? How, tell me, how can you do that?
There was a case here in Chicago that, I mean, when I heard about it, I mean, I just cried.
Mm-hmm.
When it was when I finally got it, I was numb.
Wow.
This baby was 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every bone in his body had been broken.
Wow.
His little chest, because remember, he's 2 years old.
Right.
Had the complete footprint embedded in it. So it was like in it, because he finally beat the boyfriend finally beat this child to death. In my heart, there's nothing about me that can make me believe that you didn't know what the hell was going on. You had to see your child. If he's 2,
mm-hmm.
you giving him a bath.
Right.
You had to see these marks. They said this baby has so many marks on his legs and chest and back. You know, torso and back,
mm-hmm.
that it wasn't a question of how many marks it had. It was a question of how much skin was not marred.
Mm-hmm.
And because DCF has got in trouble for that too. I know that I'm almost certain that DCF's worker lost her job. Because it was a case already opened on that child. Why was that child still in that home?
Yes, that's
you
something
had
else.
Visual
right.
evidence
right.
that something was not right. I don't care that you didn't know who was doing it or what, but guess what? As a parent, that's your job to know.
Yep.
So that child shouldn't have been in that home. And the sad part, really sad part about it was he was taken out of the home. And I want to say placed with an aunt. It wasn't a grandmother, but it was a relative. Then they allowed him to go back home. And within a week, he was dead.
That sounds like a case happening here.
And I was sitting there, but when they talked about this baby, and they said how this baby chest was, because the chest was caved in, the entire footprint of this man was on this baby's torso. And all I could think to myself is the amount of force that that man had to kick or stump that child with to leave that impression. It is just imaginable. What can a damn 2-year-old do that would warrant anything of that caliber?
Yep. Nothing.
Is it like you? There's nothing you can tell me that child did that warrant a whooping beyond a couple of taps on the butt.
Yeah.
And you only do that is if they're doing something that's putting themselves in danger.
Yep.
It's like, really? That particular case really stood out. It stood out for another reason too. My sister is a DCFS investigator, and it was in the area that my sister was in, and I was concerned. You know, like, was that one of your cases? And she said, no, that's the area that she lived in. That's not the area where her cases were, because her cases were actually over here. We live on both different sides of the city, and her cases were actually on my side of the city at that time. And it just so happened now, her cases are, like, over there near the area that she's in. But I just sit back and I'm like, we have to do better.
Yes.
We have to do better. We have to, just like, another thing that has never, and this has happened all my life, I've never been able to understand this or grasp this. How can your child come to you and tell you that your boyfriend is touching her or did something to her and you not believe her?
Yep. But it gets better than that. How about your child is being raped not only by your boyfriend, but you're in on it too. I've read cases like that.
Sometimes I sit back and I look at, and don't get me wrong, things have been going on as long as I've been alive. But it's just like there's an oversaturation of things happening nowadays. And remember, I'm in Chicago.
Right.
The killing of these kids is literally tearing my soul in two. Because how do you stop it? It's like every year the count of children in Chicago public schools that are killed is steadily rising instead of going down. In the month of January, like, let's say near January 26th, I think it was, or somewhere right around there, there have been 40 murders in Chicago. It's like, come on now. I don't understand it. How can you take something you can't give? My mother used to say to us, I brought you in this world and I'll take you out.
My mother said it too.
And I believed her. So okay, she did bring me in this world. And so I sit back and I laugh at that sometimes. But how can you take a life? You can't give a life.
Yeah.
Once you've taken that life, you can't bring that life back. I just don't. Then it's like, okay, what are you going to do? They say either you're part of the problem or you're part of the solution.
Mm-hmm.
I don't always think that's the case. Because sometimes you can just be in a state of flux. You don't know what to do. You know, okay, if I see this happening, do I get in the middle of it and make, you know, I'm laying on the ground dead?
Mm.
Wow. You don't know how you can help any of this. But I know, in my opinion, parents need to get back to the art of parenting.
Yeah, and another thing is a lot of people turn a blind eye to things because anytime a child goes to school and has bruises on them, the teacher's not saying anything, the teacher's not calling the police, not calling social service, there's something wrong with that picture as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then these social services that are sending these children back into the war zone, so to speak, they need to be held accountable when those children are killed because it's already a history of this child's been abused, been misused and just gone through the mill, and you've taken this child out of this family once, then you're going to give them back? Just like it was just like the case you had spoke about in New York. A little girl was taken out of the mother's home, and she was with a lesbian, and the little girl was, you know, being abused. So they took the little, I think she had about four more other kids. The little girl was taken out of the home. So the woman, she's begging and pleading, I want my child back. They sent her to these classes, did this, did that, and told her she needed to get away from that lesbian, whatever. So no sooner than she got that child back, that baby was dead less than a month. The lesbian beat the baby to death. And that's who was beating the baby in the first place. I'm not going to let anybody, even my children's fathers, put their hands on my child. You know, because men have a tendency, they're more heavy-handed, even though, you know, I wouldn't say anything if he was disciplining him, you know, speaking to him, telling him, you know, that's wrong, don't do this or whatever, but don't put your hands on my child. Not unless I tell you or give you permission to. You know, but that's what happened, and a lot of these women sitting around watching these men beat their children to death. And then they crying, well, I didn't know, I was scared. No, you can't be but so scared, because when he went to sleep that night, he would have woke up a whole different person. He'd have been crazy glued to death, you hear me? I would have glued his hands to his, he'd have just been all glued up. But, you know, a lot of times parents need to tell their children about associating with strangers, and how to handle when a stranger approaches them. Then a lot of these parents need to be aware of these people who are over anxious to watch your children, these pedophiles. Oh, yeah, I'll watch them. You go into the store. Sure, I'll watch them. You come back, your child's whole demeanor's changed, and she's acting strange, and you don't know why. You know, but you need to educate your children, let them know that if someone touches you inappropriately, you tell me. Don't let anybody put their hands on you. Don't care who they are. And a lot of these men, these boyfriends who are abusing another man's child, that really kills me. I just can't. Why are you beating this child in the first place? You know, and these women giving these men permission who are not their fathers. And like I said, I didn't even want my children's fathers to put their hands on them. So you know. A stranger ain't going to do it. But they're letting these men kill their children. You know, and I know you may have seen on the internet where this man had, I think the baby was, I only think that baby was a year old, choking to death off a condom where he had
his
penis in her mouth.
Yes, I do remember that one. I do remember
Honey,
that one.
Honey,
I do remember that one.
When I read that, it just seemed like I was on fire. It just seemed like, oh, my goodness, I just would love, if I could just get my, if I could just dish the punishment to some of these predators and things they do to children,
I often wonder, because I know everything in me says, yeah, I said, if they start turning some of them over, it'll stop.
Turn them over to what, other guys in jail and stuff you talking
no.
about?
Mm-mm.
What you mean
to
turn
the families?
Oh, uh-huh.
To women, to an elected group of people. Just
uh-huh.
the reaper of the
let
punishment.
Let them do whatever they want
like,
to they. Mm-hmm.
Because it's almost like, I remember when I first started hearing about it being so rapid, I'm like, his ass need to be castrated.
Yeah, and not and they castrate him. Mentally, but they need to be castrated physically. They need to cut it off up to his, all that stuff off, his balls too, just cut everything off and cut his tongue out. That's what they need to do.
Because it's, and I'm not a violent person, and I don't believe in hurting people and things like that, but there have been times when it's like, just turn one of them over. You have to turn them over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember, I think it was last year, when the man in court jumped over the banister and went at the man that had molested his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And all I could say to myself, because when they showed, I'm like, all that courtroom guard had to do was turn his damn back. Act
mm-hmm.
like he didn't see it. Just give him a minute. You know, it's like, I just don't, you know, and some of them are just so cocky with it, you know, and then they get out and they go back to the same place and do the same thing again.
Yeah.
And over again, you know, that handyman in the building. You know, because Lord knows people who work around the building see every damn thing that goes along on anyway. So it's like, that kind of stuff really, it gets down real low.
Yes, yes it do. It definitely do. And it's a shame that, you know, these kids have no voice, you know,
yeah.
because they don't believe them. And then the thing that if they would just give, because I think one person, because I was reading something where this person had killed their child and they got life, they got a lot of time, and that was good. Because anytime you kill anybody, I think you should be locked up forever because that person ain't coming back. So especially if you, well, if it's self-defense, it's a different story. But if you
mm-hmm.
maliciously kill somebody, robbing them, raping them, or whatever you're doing, and you take their life, you don't need to be on the street ever. Ever. Lock you up and throw this key away. And I think people like that, because I think it's this jail, I don't know if it was in Kentucky or... Well, there's a jail that has an underground jail.
Mm-hmm.
It's under the ground. I think people who... murderers, rapists, and, you know, the rest of the scum like that, they need to be in those underground jail cells where they don't come out for nothing. Throw buckets of water on them and tell them that's their bath, but and feed them bread and water. But, you know, some places have different laws, but it should be across the board.
Yeah, it needs to be. More consistent because it seemed like I said, it seemed like it's on the rise.
Yeah.
And almost every time you turn around, you're reading a story about that. And these babies are getting younger and younger and younger.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wow, really?
Yep. And I was reading on the internet, this girl, 9 years old, had a baby by a 17-year-old, and they're looking for him.
Yeah, I saw that story earlier this evening, matter of fact, shortly before I got on, but I didn't read the whole
what
story.
What is wrong with these men, a 17-year-old and a 9-year-old? What kind of mess is that?
But when you see, it's kind of hard nowadays because of hormones that they and stuff that they're putting in our food.
Right.
To make the food grow faster and mass this and all that kind of stuff, because the young girl, the girls are maturing sooner and things like that. But the average 9-year-old, when you look at a 9-year-old's body,
mm-hmm.
what the hell do you see attract? They're usually sticks.
Yeah.
So it, you don't see, you don't even see all the curvature. Or this or any other. What could turn you on about her?
Mm-hmm. I don't know, but they look. I hope when they find them, they castrate them.
That's sad. That's sad.
Mm-hmm. But it hurts me when these little kids are just killed, burning them up. Throwing hot water on them, putting cigarettes out on them, cutting them and scratching them and biting them
and putting
their hair out.
Somebody put their infant in the freezer.
Well, I know you heard this. This was a while ago. The lady put a baby in the microwave, and they couldn't. Uh huh.
I did hear about that.
Put the baby in the microwave. And that's a horrible way to die, because you cook from the inside out.
It has to be painful. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, but, you know, you got crazies out here and so many things. But I'm going to give a few little tips on how to prevent your children from being from predators. When your child tells you something, that someone has touched her, or him, because sometimes they don't care, believe them and do an investigation. And, you know, don't give up. Call the police or whatever and do that investigation and stick with it, because some people will stick with it and then they drop it. Well, it's over with. But it's not over with, because that child is going to suffer from that. So if your child tells you someone is touching them, you know, talk with them and call the police and get an investigation going. Don't let overzealous people, like especially some men, who say, well, I'll watch your child, or I'll take them to practice, or I'll do this, I'll do that. If they are just so overzealous and so happy and wanting to do that, decline, because he's just being too overzealous. And predators, they're normal people. They look normal. They might be your next-door neighbor. They might be the teacher, the Boy Scout leader, the pastor. You know, all of them. Any of them can be a predator. So you have to warn your children, let your children know. And if someone tries to take them off, you know, pull them away from, tell your child to drop to the ground and kick and scream. That sometimes will cause a predator to run off, you know, because it may draw attention to them. And don't talk to strangers. Don't go away with a stranger. If your mother or father didn't pick you up from school, stay in the school. And if you know your phone number, whatever, to have them to call your parents or another family member, but don't leave the school where somebody said, your mother sent me to pick you up.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that. And when you're home, if you're home alone, don't open the door for anybody. That's just your parents, and they should have a key. When you're talking to somebody on the phone, they ask you if you're home alone, tell them no. Even if you are home alone, tell them no, because if you tell them no, it could be your next-door neighbor calling and checking to make sure nobody's there so he can come over and do whatever he wants to do to you. So when you're home alone, make sure when you answer the phone, someone asks you and if you're home alone, tell them no. If they ask who you're home with, tell them that you can't talk and just hang the phone up, because that's asking too much information, trying to get too much information. And also, when somebody tries to bribe you, if somebody tells you they'll give you candy, cookies, or try to buy you something. And most kids, they like candy and cookies. They like the iPods. They like the iPhones and different things like that. Do not accept those gifts, because behind those gifts is a predator, especially if it's somebody you don't know. Let your parents, tell your parents if you want an iPhone or whatever it is you want. Your parent is there to provide for you. So, you know, just take heed. There are a lot of other things that you can do to protect your child from predators. Just be careful who you leave your child with and believe your child when they tell you something. And your boyfriends, don't leave your kids with your boyfriends, even if they insist on watching them. You know that's going to be something up with that. And if you ever take your child around somebody and they don't want to be with that person, don't leave them with that person, because 9 times out of 10, that person has done something to them. After, you know, because maybe you take your child to the same babysitter, then all of a sudden this child is crying because they don't want to go up in there. Investigate that, because it could be possibly that he's being abused, not maybe sexually, but maybe physically, you know, because kids, they have a tendency to, their personality changes up when things happen to them. So you have to be very careful and always be there for your child, listen to them, and, you know, just look out for your children. You know, our children are actually gifts. You know, they were
most
only
definitely
loaned to us. You know, our children were loaned to us. God loaned us those kids, but when you mistreat them, abuse them, and kill them, and all that kind of stuff, you're going to answer for that. You may have got away with it here on earth, but you're going to answer for that. So, you know, love your children, look out for them, and, you know, teach them the ABCs of the street, and have your children in, you know, at least, you know, dark time, because we used to come in when the light street, when the street lights came on, we was in the house.
Exactly.
You know, but now you ride them down, since you see little kids hanging on the corner and ripping and running and hanging out, you know. I don't know, but I know times, that was when I was coming up, but, you know, and things have changed and times have changed, but there's still a lot of evilness out there in that world, and that's never going to change. As a matter of fact, it's getting worse and worse. So you need to be on your P's and Q's, be on your guard about your kids. Keep your kids safe, you know, and love them, and, you know, just be careful. And we're about at the end of the show. This was a good show. You think so, Risa? Rhea? Sorry. I called you Risa.
This was
pretty good informative show. But I just hope that, you know, if people, you know, take something away from it and, you know, apply those principles, because a lot of our kids could be, you know, don't have to really go through what they're going through if the parents were a little bit more aware and had a little bit more knowledge of these things happening, you know, and women who are just letting their kids being beat up by their boyfriends or by their natural fathers. You know, take your kids and run. Don't let nobody beat your child to death.
I know that's right.
Mm-hmm. So we've come to the end of the show, and I appreciate everybody who came out. There was nobody in the chat room, but I appreciate everybody who's listening on their iPhones or wherever you're listening from. Thank you. I appreciate you. And I appreciate you being on here with me too, Rhea, even though our other co-hosts was off tonight. And with that being said, I'm going to say goodnight. I don't know what next week's show is going to be about. If anybody has any ideas or anything they'd like me to talk about on Bringing Sexy Back, email me at gjdelicious37@gmail.com. Or you can email Rhea. Rhea, put your email address out there.
It's rhealexis@yahoo.com. That's rhealexis@yahoo.com.
Right, and on we have a show the first Friday in the month, and the last Friday in the month. The first Friday in the month is open topic, or if you're an author, entrepreneur, or have a business you want to promote and you want to come on the show as a guest, you can also inbox me about that, and I'll get right back to you. In my last of the month Friday show is my musical show, which I play slow jams or happy hour news rotate. Okay, so everybody have a beautiful night. Rhea, I'll talk to you, darling. I'm going to give you a call real quick when I get off the phone, okay?
Okay.
All right, darling, I'll talk to you.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
What's wearing your smile, dimple on the side.
Good night, everybody.